Today's show is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com and use code GOT20 to save 20% off your order today. Also, send us an email at podcastwinterfell@gmail.com and you will be entered to win a pair of incredible Targaryen cufflinks. Celebrate the fires in King's Landing by wearing these amazing cufflinks to the next event that you attend. Send us an email and tell us what your favorite moment from the entire series is. podcastwinterfell@gmail.com, and while you're on the interwebs, go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code GOT20 to save 20% off your order. cufflinks.com/DVR today.
Welcome to Crazy Hank TV. Today we're going to be talking Game of Thrones, the episode The Bells, that so many people either enjoyed or hated. We have two guests tonight. We have Axel.
Hello. My name is Axel. I am from Podcast Winterfell. You can check us out at podcastwinterfell.com as well as dvrpodcast.com. And I'm happy to be back again talking about Game of Thrones.
And we have Matt, a fan favorite.
Hi. I am usually on a little podcast that Jack does called RCAD. And I also have my own podcast that Jack has never been on, and he gives me a lot of grief for, called Owen and Beru's Barbecue. We talk all things Star Wars, and I am a podcaster on the Jay and Jack Network, if you don't know what that is.
So you have a Star Wars podcast?
Apparently.
That's great news.
People
love Star Wars.
I feel like if I invite you on at this point, you're just going to either say no, or I'm saving it for a special, surprise, everyone. Jack's on the show. So,
and I don't want to talk Star Wars today.
Right. Hey, there's something much bigger that is happening in the universe of pop culture, and that is Game of Thrones. I can't think of anything larger that's going on right now than Game of Thrones. I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, it's either like we were just talking about before we started recording, it's either people liked it or they hated it. Doesn't seem like there's much in between.
No, it's so galvanizing.
Yeah. And I know I said on our podcast, I said I was shocked after I was done watching it. I go, okay, let's go see what's going on Twitter and stuff like that. I go, oh my God, they hate it. I respect anyone can have, I respect anyone's opinion. They can hate it, love it. But I was shocked at the hate. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised, only because it had been building, and I think that the kind of negativity had been building since really Dan and Dave kind of took over for George R. Railroad Martin, as I like to call him. he does like to wear that little hat. And I am from New Jersey like him, so I can make fun of him. The show really has become a bit more of a TV show. They have relied on more visual and TV type storytelling as it's gone on, and they've had to make their own choices. But I also feel as we enter the home stretch here with one episode left, there's a lot of people who read the books or who really love this story. And they just don't want to see it end, and they have a different view of it, and they're just torn. So I can empathize with them. There's things that I love that were made into movies or films that I think are terrible. But then again, my favorite movie of all time is 2001, and I read that book when I was 10 years old, and the movie's pretty good. So kind of a classic.
but way different than the book, though.
Yes, and that's why I guess I never had that issue. I've never had that issue in my life. Like if it's a comic, if it's whatever. And also as a filmmaker, I taught video production for over 10 years. And one of the first things I taught is there's three different phases, and they're all totally different. Your script, your production, and what you edit. And most of the time, those can be three totally separate things. So within that is so different. So to take a book and then enter it, it's going to be even quadruply different, So that's never really bothered me. But I think for some people, this story was so close to them that it's just hard to see it end in a way that they think is not, You know, like they're kind of getting spoiled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was probably closer to Jack in my reaction to this because I watched the episode and I was really excited. I was like, okay, this is going to be the battle. This is good. And watched the episode and I was like, whew, that was intense, you know? And I was like, I wonder what everybody else, oh my God, what did we just watch the same? What? Why is everyone freaking out? You know? Yeah. And I'm just scratching my head thinking, okay. And, I mean, I'm not completely deaf and illiterate. I've heard a lot of the criticisms and I see them for what they are. I get it. You know, we can kind of talk about some of those. But I'd rather like to point out some of the things that I liked about this episode. For one, I mean, I feel like all of the naysayers have had their chance to talk, but the things that I really enjoyed and walked away from with the episode, it, you know, there's not a lot of like, I don't know, the emotion in this episode for me comes down to like about three different points. And one, well, maybe four, but, you know, the main ones for me were, when, Tyrion and, Jaime had their interaction. I just thought that was so sweet and so heartfelt, you know,
yeah,
that's
beautiful.
You know, you have these two brothers, he's admitting something that character wise we've maybe known, but to verbalize it in a way that like, I thought, made them both very human towards one another. I really liked that scene.
Well, you can also, not to cut you off, but you can see see where Jaime has a good side, and because I think a lot of people are upset that he went back to Cersei because he says he's a bad person, but he's his drug. He can't get away from her. But you can see when he got away from her, for the most part, he was a good person. You know, he was a good, and so you can see that you know, where Tyrion says, if it weren't for you, I would have died. I mean, you protected me. So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, the other moment for me also involving Jaime, and I know people have criticized, you know, how could he run across Euron, or as I like to call him, Euron.
me too, Euron.
Euron, yeah.
Euron town.
But that moment when Jaime finally like kills him, I was like, that was the one moment where I actually shouted out, you know, I'm watching this by myself in the dark. I'm like, yes, right. You know? And, I was thrilled, that he had killed him. And so that was the other emotional part. And for me at least. And then the third really involved following Arya throughout the whole, like her whole sequence. And then where it ended with her finding the horse. I mean, at that moment when she found the horse, I was like, oh, this must be the end. Like, you know, the end of the episode. Because there were several moments where I thought, oh, is this the end? Oh, is this the end? But then when she found the horse and was, I thought, okay, that seems like a satisfying moment for this episode that she's moving on. So
that was beautiful. The horse part and just the way that they, you know, it reminds me of, you know, like in every State of the Union speech or when we're going to have the upcoming debates, they always say something like, well, I met Martha and she's a homemaker in Kalamazoo, right? And what Game of Thrones likes to do is whenever they have a battle like this or something like this, they pick their Martha. And for this, it was that woman and child. And they keep on turning up every time Arya goes somewhere, there, somewhere, even though there's supposedly like a million people in King's Landing. But that's okay, right? But we get to follow them and we get to follow Arya. And the greatest part about the whole Arya part is she keeps on looking up. And we talked about this on the podcast. Once Dany takes off from that perch, you never see her again because she's become the dragon. You don't need to see her face. You just need to see what's happening to the people on the ground floor level, right? Like Game of Thrones is about the Game of Thrones is about the kings and the queens and the big people. So mm-hmm. to show the little people and have Arya be the one who just killed the Night King, be the mm-hmm. one who's scrambling around on the ground and we're following her as the eyes of the people, I thought was pretty brilliant. And that war horse ending when the horse is there and she kind of goes off with the horse, I just thought, man, that was really something beautiful. And just like you, I was thinking in my head, oh, I guess that's going to be the ending. You know? And like, that was it.
What else can you top that moment? And, you know, I saw a lot of the different comparisons to, you know, Judgment Day, and, you know, the rider was death, you know, and the pale horse, you know, and, you know, I was like, yeah, that totally, that makes sense. Like she is death. And the way they did the makeup on her with the blood that was kind of coming across her face, I kept thinking of Tyrion and the fact that he had that cut across his yeah. nose that occurred. And how they did her in that scene. It really kind of harkened back to that moment for me with the previous battle. I can't remember what battle that is now.
But there's, you know, that
the Battle of Blackwater.
Yeah, the Battle of Blackwater. The face, too, when her face gets all messed up like that. Remember earlier the Hound says to her, look at this face. Do you want to look like this, girl? You know? And then the thing is that she ends up looking like that. You know?
Right.
It's like there's things in this story is so much about trauma and what people have been through. And there's nothing that the Hound or any of her teachers or anyone in this world can really do to protect the young people, right? It's like it's a sad story.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, and it's something that the Game of Thrones has always done is it always has provided these sad moments and tragic turns in yep. characters that you're like, wait, no, I don't want the Red Wedding. I don't want this to go this way.
Yeah.
It's unexpected. And, you know, as many people that didn't like how Cersei died, it was unexpected. It was not what you wanted to happen. You wanted more from that moment. Go ahead, Jack.
I asked a question on our podcast. I said, if Arya would have killed Cersei, would more of the fans been, okay, I'm cool with that? Mm-hmm. But since she backed away after the Hound told her, you know, the whole thing, are people upset because what didn't happen because they were expecting it to happen? I mean, for the longest time, we've been saying Arya's going to kill Cersei, Arya's going to kill Cersei, or Jaime was going to kill Cersei, yeah. one of the two, and neither one happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think there's a certain. It's a funny thing, right? It reminds me of the '90s. Jack, you might remember this. There was a band called Nirvana,
yes,
and they were really popping. They played very hard rock music, and we used to get into a mosh pit and dance around and knock each other.
I was a little too old for that.
Well, I did it. I saw them at Irving Plaza in Manhattan, and. They ended up attracting an audience of kind of like meatheads, you know, and then they had to kind of go out of their way to say, hey, if you're a meathead, guess what? Read the lyrics. It's like anti-meathead. Mm-hmm. Well, I think unfortunately Game of Thrones, it's got so much battle and violence and dark stuff in it that there is a segment of the audience who kind of like you're saying, Jack, I think would have been happier. They want the kills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they want Clegane Bowl. They want the kills. They want a hero. They want John to be the prophecy. They want the hero. And that's not what this story is. This story is supposed to be like a subversion of those tropes. And I think that Cersei, the only thing that I had a problem with, I'm a fan of Cersei and that character. She didn't have too much to do this season.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of looking out a window, drinking wine.
She got paid.
That's true. Good for her. Hey, I love her going back to, remember Sarah Connor Chronicles? She was awesome on that. I love that show.
Oh, yeah.
I
didn't
know that. But I would have liked a little bit more maybe, but I like the way they went out. What I keep on saying is you had two siblings that went back to the wombs from which they came. The two brothers were born of fire and hate, and that's where they went back. Cersei and Jaime were born of a lack of love, of rock, of stone, and that's where they went back, to a womb of stone. So it's like they kind of both returned to whence they came. And that, for me, was pretty fitting. I didn't need – and I also kind of – Jack, that's interesting because it always seemed to me that Cersei was the type of character that nobody was going to take her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like above it all, you know? But can I ask you guys, how did you react to Dany's turn? Did you see it coming? Did you think it was sudden? What did you think, Jack? Because I saw it coming. I think they've been building this up.
Well, that's why I was shocked at people's reaction, because I put it on our Facebook page. I wasn't shocked by anything.
Yeah.
I pretty much, she was, and in fact, I said she kept Tyrion alive when she killed Varys, because she wanted him to see her destroy King's Landing. That's the only reason she didn't have him killed. I think she wanted to show him, this is what happens when you go against me. And she's been, or give me bad advice or whatever she was, but I was not shocked by it at all.
I think my only disappointing part is that they really telegraphed it in with the previously on, where they had all of those lines showing her. I felt like, okay, you're showing me this in a previously on, and yet I don't feel like I should be spoon-fed that in a previously on. I felt like everything that they had done with her character was already right there. They killed the beheading that had happened the episode before. The fact that she had lost, I'm going to forget his name because there's so many names in this. But in the Jorah? Battle of Winterfell, when loses
Jorah Friendzone.
Yeah, exactly. Jorah Friendzone. Yeah, when she loses him. I mean, I felt like these were all stepping stones. And there has been a lot of evidence to her building up to this moment where she was going to go mad. And then I thought, when the bells actually started ringing, I thought, oh, I don't think this bells thing is actually going to help her.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the more they had the bells going, and I think that they could have almost they could have created even more bells, like kind of ringing in her head. I think that really was the tipping point, you know. Maybe had the bells, if there would only been one bell ringing or something, I don't know. But Axel, you'd mentioned something in the 90s, and it reminded me, you know, one of my favorite shows from the 90s was Quantum Leap.
Oh yeah.
And when Quantum Leap ended, and I was huge fan. I mean, it was this piece of sci-fi that was just kind of my show, you know. And this is pre-internet, for those out there. And
there was life without internet?
There was. And there was no fan base that you could jump on board and say, what did they do to my Quantum Leap? And I remember watching that final episode and being, you know, I was really kind of disappointed that it revolved around the setting that it did. Like, I wasn't like a fan of the setting that it took place, this mining town. There were certain things. I got what they were doing, and I liked the story. I thought it was very bold, but at the time I was like, no, I don't want it to go like this. And you know, I don't want to give spoilers for Quantum Leap, but come on, people, it's been over 20 years. The last moment that you're left with, that Sam Beckett doesn't get to go home. Oh my gosh. Like, knives to the heart. I was sad. Yeah. And, you know, I wonder though, if Quantum Leap, if that had aired in a period of time with the internet, how many people would have just rallied against it and hated it?
Well, it's not too late to get a petition going to change the ending.
but looking back though,
yeah,
I think it was really powerful, bold, and brave that they did that.
Well, I think so too. Well, think about The Sopranos, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that enough to say that so many people thought that their cable went out.
Right.
And right here with you. I knew exactly what was happening. I was watching it with my wife and her family. It cut to black. I raised my hands up in the air, laughed, said, oh my God, this is amazing. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. And they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, this is amazing. They just ended it. That's it. You got to figure out what happened. They're never going to tell you. And they were like, what? You like that? And I was like, I love it. I think it's perfect for this show. And, you know, I see the point you're getting at is that with the internet and everything, we can get all upset and complain, and we have other people to kind of rally behind our cause and our petitions, and people are upset that this happened with Danny, and it's not positive, right? Like, that's the thing is, it seems like people have forgotten that this is the show that captivated America by cutting Sean Bean's head off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This isn't the show that he jumped down from the stage and whisked Aria away to safety. Right. He got his head cut off. So for Danny to turn bad like this, I mean, we've been calling her dad the Mad King since day one.
Mm-hmm.
What did we think might happen? So
you're completely right. They have always subverted expectations and pulled the rug out from under us as viewers. And guess what? We are all talking about it as a nation. Like, I mean, everybody's like, you know, talking. So in a way it's like, okay, like it, love it, hate it. It got everybody talking, you know, everybody knows about it. And if they don't, they've completely ignored it because they're just at this point, they're like, I don't watch that show.
Oh my God. I called my friend today and I just mentioned Game of Thrones. He's like, oh man, I don't want to talk about Game of Thrones, man. Everybody's talking about Game of Thrones, man. Everything's Game of Thrones. And I was like, oh, I'm about to go on a podcast. I'll go on YouTube, talk about Game of Thrones. Oh, good. Have fun.
Well, I think you're going back to the internet too. I think what the difference looks like in the 90s, the 80s, and even in the 70s, my time, when you got upset with a show, you know, you either went to school and talked to school about it, or you went to work, whatever it was. You had either a night to recover, or, you know, you had time. Whereas the internet, I hated that. I'm going on Twitter. I'm going on Facebook. Yeah. And so right away, it might influence people. Not saying people's opinion would influence, but maybe some who are borderline going, yeah, they're right. Because, you know, we were doing our podcast, and Jay and Nick said some things. I go, okay, I'll bend the knee there. I kind of see your point there. But overall, I said, I didn't hate it. I go, because Danny, I think also she was going mad, but she also, her only way to the throne was out of fear. She has that dragon.
Exactly.
That scares the crap out of anyone. Who's gonna come after her? Yep. As long as she has that dragon, she sits on that throne. I think she knew it at that point too.
Yeah. She, and that, I mean, we forget, right? Just before the battle at Winterfell, John tells her, guess what? I am your nephew. And not only am I your nephew, but if you are to believe your claim to the throne, then my claim is better than yours.
Right.
So it wasn't even just like he had a different claim. He had the same claim. So it double and she tells him to lie. I mean, so much of this story, look how this started out. John finds out that he's Aegon Targaryen because he was lied to his entire life by Ned to protect him. And then Danny immediately asks him to lie about who he is to protect her. So it doesn't, you know, what a tangled web we weave. So it just shows us that the story we thought should be about the new generation making the right choices that their forefathers had not made, right? It's not there. They're still hinged to these same kind of bad actions and ideas. They're still in that wheel that their parents were, unfortunately. Yeah. It's sad to see it. It's a tragedy.
You bring up a great point that I wanted to mention about this season, and it goes back to talking about the showrunners treating it as a TV show. And I think one of the things that they've done with this season is they've returned to, I mean, there's so many callbacks to the first season. There's so many things that they've set up in this season, you know, whether subtly or, you know, heavy-handedly, they're saying, look, history is repeating itself here.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they've good set point. Up a lot of dominoes where they're like, look, all of these things are coming back around. Also, one last thought there, as you were talking about the whole reveal, total bedroom killer. I mean, there has been no romance between them.
Yeah,
all season long. Every time one of them tries to make a move, the other one's like, "Yeah but you're still my aunt, or you're still my nephew." You know, like.
Well, I think Danny is into it, and I think one of the things that this show has also showed is Danny likes knocking boots. She likes getting down. Like, let's not forget, she learned how to please Khal Drogo. She took Dario into her bed just to have sex with him. He was not there to be the king. So Dani has a, if we just even look at her sexuality, she has a very open sexuality, you know? And not to mention what may have gone on without her consent with her brother, but maybe from a younger age, that has been a part of her. So that, I think, there's things that we're talking about. And when you talk about Jack having Jay and Nick kind of be against, you know, kind of wearing you out about what was wrong with the show, there are things that the showrunners could maybe have played out a little bit more to let us understand, like a conversation where Danny talks to Missandei and says, I can never have a love again. I lost Khal Drogo. I lost Jorah. I can't have a baby. Now I lost John. Do you know what I mean? Maybe a little bit more than that. Right. But this is what I kind of fall back on is, I think this show is also, in a sense, gone towards not only the spectacle in many ways, which it has, but I'm okay with that, but also because it's the end. But it's relying a little bit more on our characters being like mythological creatures. You know what I mean? So Dani isn't just some 24, 25-year-old queen. She's a genetic mutant dragon blood lady. You know what I mean? Like, she has the weight of generations of Targaryens on her, and they are the ones who united Westeros. So it's that part they could have maybe – they're relying on the audience to understand that, but I think – when you have a show like this, which has a million characters and such a huge history, it has a general audience, though. You know what I mean? So I think that that's why maybe where some of the – I can – like you saying, Jack, I can empathize with people, or I can say – I can see where you're coming from, where it may have been a kind of a quick turn and people want to complain about it on the internet because they love her as a character. But to me, it made perfect sense. Though I can understand some people getting upset, but I think also there's a lot of people who came to love Dani and think she was the breaker of chains and the freer of people, right? Whereas me, I'm always sitting there saying to myself, yeah, she's breaking chains, but she also likes to burn somebody just as quick as she can. You know, it doesn't take much to get there.
You have to bend the knee to her, or she's going to torch you.
Exactly, right? Like, it's like, it's, you know, I am the ruler and I'll set the slaves free as long as I'm still the ruler.
Right.
You know, I have to be queen. And that's a little, that always was a little bit, you know, arrogant to me. Even though, why shouldn't she think that? She can walk through fire, like Tyrion said.
Yeah. But even I think Tyrion had lost faith in her. Oh, I think he was just trying to maybe just get through this episode without her burning down King's Landing. I think he had completely lost faith in her.
I think once she killed Varys and then the whole thing with the city, I think it really sets Tyrion up. I mean, it sets several characters up in this, going into this last episode. How is Tyrion going to react to that? How is Jon going to react to that? Is Jon still going to be the, she's my queen, you know?
Yeah.
Or is he actually going to, you know, stand up and like protect Sansa, because, you know, I think a lot of us have
She's the next target.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if she just killed Varys just like that and she's still hungry. By the way, like, you know, hangry is not a good way to go into battle.
Not at all.
I did like how they set that up. It was subtle. you know, and they have had some several read between the lines moments in this season, even if some of them have been telegraphed in. But the fact that Varys was trying to food poison her and she wasn't eating, you know, it's, I thought wow, we're getting to the meat of this really quickly.
I didn't even pick up on that until I saw it on the internet. I go, oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really subtle and, you know, to the fans, you know, that are, you know, had laid a lot of criticism. Sure, I think an extra episode, perhaps, setting these things up, setting up, you know, maybe just a tip, just a normal 60-minute episode leading up to this final battle, perhaps moving some more chess pieces around the board, you know, may have done them even more service, perhaps getting Jaime into the city sooner, you know, before, you know, maybe that could have helped things, but I hate living in the shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Yeah,
this is the episode that we got. This is what it was, and I, you know, as you gentlemen have pointed out, I mean, when the episode was over, I was like, okay, cool, wow.
And you know what? They would have got here anyway. So even if it had a little bit more time, the same people who are upset that Danny broke bad would have still been upset. I mean, I think that's just the world we live in. And Jack, you know, from Lost. Yeah. I mean, I love Lost. I love the ending. And I've had so many people say to me, oh, I've never seen it, but I heard the ending's terrible. And I just have to take a calming breath, think about the light in the cave and just say, well, you know what? Maybe you should just watch it yourself or see what happens, you know, but, and maybe unfortunately the same thing will happen for Game of Thrones. But I'm enjoying it. And I think I agree with you, Jack. You just said Sansa's next. That was another part that was kind of subtle where Danny was saying to Jon, your sister's happy about this. She killed Varys as much as I did.
Right.
This was what she wanted. So, and then Tyrion letting Jaime out, they made a big thing during, like you mentioned with Jaime and Tyrion's conversation, a big part of it was him saying, well, she's going to find out you did this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, next episode, is Jon even going to be able to talk to Dany? Is this thing going to continue where she sequesters herself away from people, you know, and doesn't want to hear the advice of anyone? Maybe only Grey Worm stays near her.
That's the only person that she has.
So I figure, is she going to try to take out Tyrion and Sansa? Is Jon going to have to, I mean, he's got to step up. Because the thing about Jon is, he is kind of a Hamlet type character. He's mm-hmm. But he at times he has stood up, and when it comes down to it, he has usually made the right decision, maybe not in a battle, but overall between people. I think that this has to be, I mean, there was a great shot of him looking at Davos where they were just both shocked mm-hmm. at what was going on. And I don't think that Jon will accept this. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, but before I forget, you mentioned Varys poisoning her. I keep on thinking the real strength to Dany is the dragon. They got to kill the dragon.
Yeah.
So before they go and kill Dany or try to kill her or try to even talk to her, if I was them, Cersei's gone. There's no one to oppose them. They might as well just kill that dragon.
Right.
You know, so I think that might be maybe like Jon tries to kill the dragon or something, or maybe even Tyrion. Because remember they had that thing where Tyrion, why did they have that scene when Tyrion went down and pet dragon? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe he tries and maybe the dragon eats him or maybe he kills the dragon or maybe Varys was poisoning the dragon already.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's a good theory.
I'm just trying to think if it was me. Dany is nothing. What she can go through fire and she's got her armies, but the real thing that is overwhelmingly what she used to take out King's Landing was that dragon. So you got to kill it.
Yeah. I never thought about Mary's doing that. That's a good theory. I like it.
And he's a smart guy. He would think like that.
Yeah.
That's
you
clever.
Have to poison a lot of cattle.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Right. Is a dragon even susceptible to poison? It's probably, maybe it won't happen, but I would think, you know, I'm still thinking they're going to go after the dragon.
Before, well, again, they have to kill the dragon to get to Danny. I had a theory about, I think it has to be Jon Snow that kills Danny. For satisfaction, I think it has to be Jon. People are saying Arya. I said, no, she's done her part. Let's let Jon kill it. I think before he kills her, she says, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So now, does he kill her? Does he not kill her? I mean,
maybe it's that kind of bittersweet, sad, tragic ending where they kill the dragon, and then Danny's like, well, guess what? I'm pregnant. And John's like, uh-oh, I better, like, maybe we just have to let her be the ruler, but she doesn't have a dragon. You know, it's just, I mean, I don't know what could happen. Or I had even thought this, very tragic, if we're getting towards the whole Greek, Roman, and crazy stuff like this, is John kills the dragon, she finds out about it, John goes to her, and she kills herself. She just takes herself out, because she looks so messed up right now anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So there was a scene when we were doing our podcast, Heath had mentioned that she was sitting by that window, and the way she looked, he thought that she might just jump out the window.
Yeah, she did look distraught.
And we do have Tommen, right? Tommen did the jump too, so.
Well, I do think with the whole idea of the wheel and like the cyclical events, you know, wherever we leave Westeros, it seems like it needs to be dragonless.
Yeah.
You know, and dragon eggs being out there, fine. You know, set up generation 2.0.
On HBO Go.
Yeah.
Well, to kill Danny, you're going to have to kill Grey Worm too, right?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be sad, too.
I liked how they set that up as far as Grey Worm turning. Like, he's the one that throws the spear. He's the one that, like, leads the troops to make... I thought that was actually smart, you know, done pretty smartly as far as, like, you know, throwing the slave collar into the fire and then having him throw that spear, so...
Yeah, that was because a lot of people, everybody's saying, oh, Danny went crazy. Well, guess what? Grey Worm was leading the troops on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
And he could have told them to help everyone, but he didn't. Yeah. He told them to kill everybody. So that's a sacking of the city. And as we were talking about before, it's very reminiscent of we've done 7 years in the show and it was 17 years before when we started. It's very reminiscent of when, during the Mad King's reign, when they opened up the doors to the city to Tywin, and the Lannisters sacked the city,
right?
You know, but this time it was the Lannister army was getting sacked, and it was actually the Northernmen, the people who were supposed to be helping, end up sacking. So it's just like you said, it's the same stuff again.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I just you know, I guess going on that, you know, like similar families just in different arrangements. The fact that Jon Snow is a bastard, you know, I keep thinking, and this is just my thought, is that we're gonna find out that Brienne is pregnant, you know, and so she's gonna have a bastard son of Jaime, you know. So
I didn't even thought of that.
Yeah, me either.
I was setting up the next generation of Lannisters.
Yeah. I was hoping that she would just shack up with Tormund since Jaime was gone. I mean, I always thought Tormund was a better choice anyway, because you know what, Jack? I think Jaime may have had a good side, but I've never bought into his redemption arc and his, you know, Mr. Handsome Knight. I love the character, but I don't know. I wouldn't be friends with him. I'm sorry. Too much privilege on your part there, Jaime. You're Mr. Cool Guy. I don't like you. So I always wanted her to get with Tormund. Though he was a little creepy, you know, stalkerish, yes. But he's got the red hair and the beard, and he just wants to have fun. You know what I mean? He likes a tall lady. He wants to have fun. Jaime's so serious and all that. Well, he was, I should say, because he's dead now.
But I was going to go back to Danny and Grey Worm. Maybe she ordered him to kill everybody on the ground.
Oh, that's...
Maybe he probably knew what her plan was.
Yeah. Well, you're right, Jack, because he was following her. You know, that's a good point. That's a good point. Once he saw what she was doing, that she wasn't stopping, he was like, that's who we follow.
Yeah. Right. Because John obviously wasn't in the room when the decision was made.
No. That was an interesting point too, right? Before the other battle, they had this big war council and everybody was there. Now this was Grey Worm, Tyrion, and Dany. Right? Mm-hmm. That was it. Just at the Dragonstone throne room. And basically Dany and Grey Worm saying, we're going to kill everyone. And Tyrion being, wait, okay, if the bell, let me work this out. If the bells ring, don't do it. Okay. Okay. And it was like, you could tell even then it was, they weren't real. They were like, okay, we'll think about it. And then when those bells went off, to me, it was like they were mocking Dany. They were mocking her. They were like, you'll never have people love you here. They're never going to love you. You know, they're just going to keep on doing this kind of stuff. Ring a bell. Oh, we love you, but not really. So I got to kill them all. I got to burn them.
Which she did.
They're
all going to laugh at you. Yeah.
Any other thoughts, guys?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next episode. I can't wait to see what happens. I think it's going to be tragic. And I think also, just don't even bother looking at the internet after it's over. Don't even bother. I mean, honestly, the first couple weeks I was on Twitter, I was having fun talking to people. The last 2 weeks, I check in for like 5 minutes, retweet, talk to somebody, check a message, and then I'm out. Because there is a lot of people are angry. Let it settle down. In a month, people will just be like, oh, it wasn't that bad. It was fun. I rewatched it. It wasn't, you know. But
my favorite story from Lost is when it ended. Well, we were at the Orb, you know, we with 2,000 people. Everybody enjoyed it. Everyone had a great time. But started getting emails because we did our podcast and people started sending us emails saying, well, not, of course you have to like it. You work for ABC. I'm like going, and it was like over and over and over. If I'm working for them, I'm not getting a check.
Yeah. I remember you all saying that on the podcast and I would always be laughing like, who are these? But Jack, isn't it so funny how far we've come now that back in the day, there were so few people doing a professional sounding great job like you all were doing that they just assumed you were working for ABC, you know, you were an official podcast.
Yeah. I never got a check from ABC. I can tell you that.
Hopefully Damon calls us when they do the sequel, man, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. But hey, I thought it was a good chat. Good talk.
Great talking about Game of Thrones. It's not something I usually get a chance to talk about. And as a casual fan, I'm not a book reader. Like my cousin is. He actually enjoyed the episode. And he's basically like, whatever. Just give me the books, you know. I enjoyed talking about it. It's not a show that I get to, you know, maybe we talk about it a little bit on the Ramblecast here and there, but
every now and then.
Every now and then. So. But yeah, thanks for having me on, Jack, and good meeting you, Axel.
Yes, thank you. It was great meeting you, Jack. It's wonderful to talk to you about it. I hope you enjoy it. I mean, it's going to be something. That's all I'm going to say. People are going to talk about it, and I'm just going to try to enjoy it for what it is. And I have a feeling it's going to be very sad and tragic. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, will that satisfy people?
I don't know. Nobody's ever satisfied, Jack. You know how it is.
I do.
I'm going to just wait for the memes to roll in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is fun, though.
Yeah.
All right, Axel, why don't you give your information again?
Okay, great. Yeah, everyone can find me at Podcast Winterfell. That's podcastwinterfell.com. And let's see, what are we doing? We got a feedback pod coming. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. And this is awesome, Jack. I hope we continue working together on new and other stuff too, man. It's always great talking to you. It was great meeting you too as well, Matt.
And Matt?
Thanks. Yeah. you can find me on the Ramblecast. Nice. The RCAD, the Ramblecast After Dark, as well as Owen and Brew's Barbecue. So.
All right, guys. Good job. That was seriously fun talk. It was nice, positive talk. I mean, we know that some people are going to hate it because it was just all positive, but I didn't think it was all positive. There was some negativity, but Anyway, had a good time. Bye, everybody.